Morning, as you draw near by faith, it's such a joy to be in the Word together. This is a Sunday morning, and of course we would love to be gathered here in person, but we are in the midst of the pandemic, and we're coming to the end of our lockdown period where the church hasn't been able to open. We're excited that next Sunday for our local church family we'll be gathering again for socially distanced services. We'll be having COVID-safe communion together. And of course, the services are not quite the same. We're not able to worship and have the fellowship afterwards, etc. But nevertheless, we're thankful for the possibility to gather together, to pray together, to be in faith, and to hear the Word together. So if you can, and you're local, please draw near. The live streams will be continuing, though perhaps pushed maybe 15 minutes or so. So we look forward to that. And during this time, we are praying for our church family. We're keeping each other in our hearts and in our prayers. We feel limited in what we can do and how we can minister to people, but nevertheless, there are certain creative ways that we can do that. We'll have a prayer meeting tomorrow on Zoom. You'd like to join us in the local church family. Also on Saturday, we had the men's meeting. We do that every couple of weeks, and we've been doing that, and that's such a joy. So thankful for those dear brothers in the faith. And of course, we're praying for our countries, wherever you are listening from. We're praying for our country here, for our government. We're praying for the vulnerable in our land, for those who have lost jobs, how this affects our economy. But especially we're praying for how God will use this in our land and in people's lives to hopefully draw them to himself and to make them think about the important things, and that they would seek God and find him. So we're looking forward to the Christmas season is coming up. We'll be having a series leading up to Christmas starting soon enough. When we come into the new year, we're going to start a series on the book of Galatians, which we're preparing for and excited about. But today we're going to be in Psalm 61. So if you have a Bible you'd like to follow along, you're welcome. Psalm 61. And let's pray. So Father, we thank you this morning for the freedoms that we have in this country and as believers, freedom to open your word, to study, to grow in our faith. We know it's possible for us to absorb the culture and the attitude, the fears that surround us. But we want to hear from you this morning, that you would quicken us afresh as we think about not just our life horizontally or naturally, but our vertical, our relationship with you, that we would look up this morning, this moment, that we would hear from you from above, and bless our time in the Word, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start by reading the Psalm, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations, and he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now, this psalm is priceless. It's like a jewel for us. It's not too long. These eight verses or so, but it is so instructive to our heart and has ministered to many in times of trouble. And even those who have mourned losses have been so encouraged by this psalm. And this is a psalm of David, of course, a time when he was in great trouble. We know that he had seasons in his life where he was greatly afflicted. He had to face different situations and battles, and of course his persecution from King Saul, and then later his own failures and sins and the ramifications of that, the rebellion of Absalom, his own son, and the rift and the conflict, and David being in exile for another time from Jerusalem for that period. Incredibly heart-wrenching time for David, coming to terms with his own failures, his own decisions, and now his own son against him. It seems that he was the king at this time, because we can see verse 6 in the third person, he's praying there for the king. He wants to be restored to the tabernacle, verse 4. So again, it seems that he is now out of Jerusalem, out of the throne, in exile. So this is usually placed at that time of Absalom's rebellion. And he starts verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God." And this word cry, it's to shout out. It's with the intent of being heard. He lifted up his voice on high. And we can be passionate in our prayers. We don't have to shout, of course, God hears clearly, but it's showing the passion and the desire in the heart, the expression of the anguish and the emotion before God, and a desire to be heard. And as with many of the Psalms, of David's Psalms, he asked God to hear. Notice that, "Hear my cry, O God." And it's amazing to think, isn't it, that God hears us, that God hears our prayers. But notice, he doesn't only say, "Hear my cry, O God," but he says, "Attend to my prayer." And this is what satisfies the heart of a believer in faith. Not only that, knowing that God hears my prayer, but being persuaded and believing and expecting that God will attend to my prayer, that he will answer my prayer. The word here is to give attention to something. It comes from the root Hebrew word to prick up your ears, to listen. It would like being hearing someone in the background versus turning and giving your attention to that person. This is what David is asking God to do, to incline his ear, to give his attention, to attend to his prayer. He's basically saying, "Oh Lord, listen, I need you to hear me, and I need you to give me an answer." Verse 2, "From the end of the earth I will cry to you." And David, probably very much sensing that, being in exile, probably hiding up in the mountains and the caves once again, far from Jerusalem, from his palace, far from the tabernacle, sensing the loneliness, having his own lock-in, if you will, with those that were with him, up in the caves somewhere, probably feeling very isolated and distant and separated in different ways. Nevertheless, he's saying, "Oh God, here I am. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you. I ask you to attend to my prayer. I ask that I could have the sense that you are hearing and moving on my behalf." He's fearing for his life, no doubt. But he says, "Lord, I believe that you hear me. I know that you are close to me." And this is a wonderful thing about David through the Psalms. Of course, he loved the temple in Jerusalem and the tabernacle in Jerusalem. But nevertheless, we know that he understood that God was with him, that he could come into God's tabernacle, so to speak, at any time. He understood that wherever God is, that is the center of all. Like Jacob meeting God in the wilderness and saying, "Oh, Bethel, this is none but other than the gate of heaven," right? This is God is present with me now. And of course, we don't have to come into a church building to sense God's presence, to draw near to him, although we love to do that. And he says, from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. And this is a purpose decision in his heart. This is what I'm going to do. I will cry unto you. I will call unto you. I will pray. And there are many things in the believer's life that have to be purposed. And there has to be a follow through. There has to be a discipline of us opening our Bibles, of us drawing near to God, of us praying. How sad it is to think that prayer is something that is so easily neglected in a Christian's life, when it's one of our greatest privileges, when it's something that moves the heart and the hand of God for our own lives and for our nation, or if there's ever a time in our life to pray, it is now. For us to pray and look to God. And he says, I will cry out to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, this is a wonderful focus for us this morning. The word overwhelmed, it means to be covered or to be shrouded or to be clothed over. And the idea is that you are in darkness and that you are in this place and you are languishing, the word means, to be faint or feeble with the sense that this is too much for me. I'm not sure that I can bear this or carry this anymore. I'm being weighed down by the situation. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt overwhelmed, where you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel? You don't know when this is going to end and you are becoming weary and you're not sure if you can carry it any further? Oh, from the ends of the earth, I will cry unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. And this is where David is. Geographically, physically, very distant, separated, away from the tabernacle, away from Jerusalem, with those that were with him, but feeling the distance, feeling as though I'm from the ends of the earth, but I cry out to you and my heart is overwhelmed. Okay, David, what is your request? And here it is, the end of that verse. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. And oh, the rock, through the scriptures, this picture of strength and a foundation and stability and God's protection. I am vulnerable right now. I am weak. I am needy. I need a rock. I need a stable, sure, protective sense in my life with the enemies that are against me and surround me, or that I might find the rock. This could have a physical aspect to it in David's life, but certainly spiritual, feeling weak and overcome. And he says, I need you to lead me. And notice that. He doesn't say... He doesn't just say, tell me where the rock is or you know, but he says, lead me. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed and we're in a situation and we don't see the way out necessarily, how can I even overcome the negative emotion and the thoughts that I have? And I could just reach my hand out and say, oh Lord, will you lead me to the rock that is higher than I? And God is faithful to do that, isn't he? Think of that. All I've got strength to do is extend my hand and say, Lord, lead me. Take my hand and lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. And on what basis is David praying this prayer? And listen, don't miss this. It's so encouraging for us as believers. On what basis is David asking God, making this request? And it's because he has history. He has experience. We see through the book of 1 Samuel the experiences that he had, the difficult challenges that he had. And out of those chapters came the Psalms. Out of those trials and personal failures and difficulties came the Psalms, that he would seek God and find God, that he would develop a devotional life and a dependence on his God in times of trouble. And through that experience, he had discovered the blessed presence, you know, the blessing of being in God's presence and being helped by God. And God had been faithful to him. So on that basis, he could cry out to God. Look at the next part of the verse here. He He says, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. So he looks to his previous experiences, his blessed experiences, when God had been his shelter, a strong tower. These are powerful words for David's life and situation. God had shown himself to be strong, to be able, to be faithful, to be present, to be one who hears and one who moves on David's behalf. That David could remember past times when he was also overwhelmed, when he didn't see a way out, and then came deliverance, that God had been faithful to him. And based on that, he cries out from the ends of the earth, knowing in his experience that God had been faithful to him before and he would be once again. Spurgeon says that experience is the nurse of faith. Isn't that wonderful? That in my experience as a believer, I have learned that God is faithful, that God is able, and that can help me in my prayers and my future steps of faith. In Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He's telling, he's speaking about things that have happened before him. He's rehearsing God's faithfulness, and that is his confession. I waited, he inclined, he heard my cry, he brought me up, he set my feet upon a rock. And David would say, here I am again, Lord. I'm overwhelmed, and lead me back to the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I feel like I'm in a pit, in a miry pit, and I cannot find the way out. But I ask you to lead me, to help me, to lift me. Habakkuk, the prophet, also, at the end of chapter 3, that amazing book, he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, and he's using this poetic and graphic language to describe the condition of the land in the face of the Babylonians and the pending captivity that was coming. And he says, oh, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit trees on the vines, though the labor of the oil may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there may be no herd in the stalls. And of course, this is, you know, Old Testament language relating to Israel and the land, but we could put our modern vocabulary in there for our situation. Though this is not happening, and though this is not happening, and I don't have money for this, and I have this problem. You could go down and you could make your own list, but look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And listen to this. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills, or the King James, my high places. And that picture of the deer up in the high places, or the goat up in the rocks. A picture of the ascent, the elevation, that vantage point that God has lifted. He will make my feet like the hind's feet. I will walk on my high places. And he will cause me to do that. How can Habakkuk say that? You can't help but think that there is experience in Habakkuk's life, that he has seen some things. And he speaks by faith, but he also has a reflection. And he can say, oh, I know that God will do this. Even though this is happening, he will cause me to walk on my high places. I don't always walk there. Sometimes I find myself overwhelmed and overcome. But, oh, Lord, lead me and lift me to my high places that I could walk there. This cry to get to the higher ground. And in our Christian life, we learn, and we need to learn, how to look to him. That prayer cannot be the last resort when I am desperate and when I am overwhelmed, but even it should be perhaps my first orientation that I am looking to him, I am trusting him, but especially when I feel the weight of something, when I feel an emotional burden, when I feel a bit lost or overwhelmed, that is the time to pour out my heart to him. Psalm 62, also David writing, verse 8, "Oh, pour out your hearts to him, all you people." We pour out our hearts, we cry unto him, we reach out and say, "Lead me, Lord, help me, Lord." It's a wonderful time for prayer. But God is a very present help in times of trouble. We're not to sit and suffer under the weight of it. Jesus invites us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What is that saying? When you sense the burden, when you are under the weight of something, oh, come to him and learn to give it to him. God doesn't want us to live with unnecessary burdens, carrying and being weighed down. It's not God's will that a Christian would live being overwhelmed from day to day to day and never get a release. But he invites us, he calls us. If you are a young teenager listening this morning, God is your God. He hears your prayer, and there is nothing too small for him. You have a problem, an issue with a teacher or a relationship or struggling in a subject or whatever it might be. You're being bullied or whatever. You can reach out to God and call out to God and he hears you. Or I'm an older person and I have physical ailments. And I heard someone say to me one time, I don't want to pray to God about this. It's such a little thing. It troubles me, but I don't want to pray to God. Well, no, there is nothing that is too, if it troubles you, it troubles God, for he cares for you. And 1 Peter 5:7 says that, "Cast all of your cares upon him." It doesn't categorize them. Cast all of your cares upon him. Whatever that care or trouble or burden may be, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And that's echoed from Psalm 55:22. Again, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to carry it, but I can give it to God. And when it comes back, I give it to God again. I give it to God again. Psalm 69:29, again, David says, "Oh, I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation or your deliverance, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." And listen to this. "This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, better than a sacrifice I could give." You know what is pleasing to the Lord? It is these expressions of faith. It is these expressions of thanksgiving. When God has delivered me, I am poor, I am sorrowful. Or let your deliverance lift me on high, and then there is the song in my mouth, even praise to our God, and many will hear it, put their trust in the Lord. Notice that phrase, "and this shall please the Lord." Isn't that great? You see, Christianity, you know, someone might think, well, here's the ideal Christian life where I'm, you know, whistling in the, you know, walking down the street, whistling with a, you know, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, there's no trouble, no trial. Oh, but there is so much to be missed if that's the case in the Christian life. But it's also these times where we're in the world, it closes in on me and I feel overwhelmed. But then I have my God so close and I can cry out to him. And notice this as we bring this to a close. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Isn't that amazing? I need to get to higher ground. Like Habakkuk, he caused me to walk on my high places. "Let your deliverance put me on high," or "lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, in modern psychology, the counsel might be, well, the answer is in yourself. You need to get introspective and dig up your past and search your own heart and get in touch with your feelings and those types of things. But here the psalmist says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In other words, I don't feel like the answer is in myself, but I want to look to God. I want to trust God. And as a church, as a pastor, as a Christian, what is our answer for people? I don't think I can answer your problem. I don't think I can heal you. I don't think I can deliver you. But I can lead you to the rock that is higher than you and higher than I. And I believe that God can hear you. God can answer you. God can deliver you. For Proverbs 15:24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. I need life from above. I need thoughts from above. I need to get God's perspective. You know, when you're down in the foliage, in the woods, in the valley, you don't see the too much of a distance. So if I get up to a high place, I can look across the land. I need a certain vantage point for my life. I need to see clearly and think clearly, and that comes through God's perspective. I need to know what God is thinking. I'm not thinking straight right now. Oh Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Or Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My way, your ways are not my ways. But your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Or let me think with high thoughts, God. For I'm not thinking straight. I'm thinking naturally. I'm walking by sight. I'm letting the world close in on me. I'm absorbing the culture. I'm taking on the fears of the people around me. But I want higher thoughts, your thoughts. I could be in a place where all looks lost and there is no hope. I'm in a trial. I'm in a pandemic. I'm by someone's bedside. I'm at a funeral. I'm in my workplace, whatever it is. And I can begin to think low thoughts. But Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then also how we value ourselves. Do you ever beat yourselves up and begin to live in condemnation and think, oh, I'm not what I should be and I fail. And I know I call myself a Christian, but also I wander here and I wander that. And I you would almost disqualify yourself. What would God say to that if I could be honest with him and confess to him and say, oh, Lord, here are my weaknesses and I wander and I can't measure up and I fail, and really you'd be better to just go on with the others and leave me. What would God say? Perhaps Colossians 3:1, which says, since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, listen to this. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that doesn't mean, of course, I'm only concerned thinking about heavenly things. I live a practical life and I'm a good steward and I go to work, etc. But it means that there is a certain perspective I have about my position and how God sees me. I consider this reality that I'm accepted, that I'm complete, that I'm loved, that I'm in Christ. I'm on the rock and in the rock in a secure place. Let's quickly read on verse 4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. And I love that. I may return to Jerusalem, but I'm in your tabernacle now. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And this word trust has the idea of running for protection, to confide in, to take refuge in. And then he says, Selah, which is a pause for reflection, considering the weight of the words. And the psalmist himself, as he's pouring out his heart, he takes pause. And after that reflection, you can see his confidence now restored in God. Verse 5, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Notice this, you have, and then he says, you will. Verse 6, you will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. Now David is speaking in faith. He's seeing God's work in the past as a sure indicator of God's faithful faithfulness in the future. Verse 7, he shall abide before God forever, speaking of himself the king. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. David sensing, oh, now I'm stumbling, I'm overwhelmed, I'm asking for help, oh, but I sense and believe your deliverance even in the moment, knowing that I will be singing and praising you. And again, David says in Psalm 27:13, I would have been lost, or I would have fainted, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And perhaps you remember times where you feel, oh, you would have fainted. You were so overwhelmed. Your feet almost slipped. You were almost overcome. You couldn't see any way out of it. Have you ever been there? I'm sure we can all think, remember. Not sure how we would come out of it. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Unless I would have heard from God, heard from above, reached out and asked for his help. And once again, he led me to the rock that is higher than I am. So, Father, we thank you this morning for these verses, these encouraging principles that you hear us, you incline your ear, you attend to our prayer, you lead us. You lead us out of difficult places when our heart is overwhelmed. You lift us. You set our feet upon a rock. You cause us to walk on our high places. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Perhaps there's one listening this morning, oh, and you are not sure of your salvation. You would want to believe that you're saved. You would want to know you're saved, but you have questions and doubts. Oh, listen, here is the good news. Jesus loves you and he died for you to be your Savior. Put your faith in him in this moment. Say, oh, lead me to the rock, lead me to Jesus, lead me to the cross, that I may believe in him as my Savior. And for each one listening this morning, use these words to lead us, carry us, help us, encourage us in these difficult days that we are in. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.